Well, I'm going to bring a message today from Matthew chapter 7, 17, excuse me, Matthew 17 in verses 1 through 7. And the main thought is going to come from verse 7. And I'm going to be speaking on the subject of He touched me. He touched me. The Lord Jesus Christ, through the Father and through the Holy Spirit, they touched me. And I thank God for that. They touched me and they touched me. They touched me of the salvation that only He could give me. And there is a touch of service that He give each one of us is after salvation. He give us the service that we could serve Him and to do what He's asked us to do. And not only that, we have the touch of separation. We need to live a separated life. And as we're living this separated life, then we know that we are devoted to Him. And we are also touched by His strength. He's the only one who can give us strength. And He gives us encouragement. And He also gives us a touch of the supreme satisfaction. We can be satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank Him for that today. I really do. But right here in verse chapter 17 in the book of Matthew says, "And after 6 days Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brethren, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. Today, you know, we are being touched by the Master on every corner, each and every day of our life, each and every moment, each and every minute, each and every second that we breathe the fresh air that He's given us. He has touched us on that. But God guides us through His Spirit. His Spirit guides us through the day and through the light. He guides us until the next morning. And often He comes and touches us on the shoulder saying, Son, I want you to go this way and I want you to do this thing. Bye-bye. All right, if you will, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have a good evening.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But there's a touch of salvation God saw us. God seen you and He seen me. Down through times, and He could see so far out that He knew that we was going to need help. He knew that I was going to need help. He also knew that you was going to need help. And He knew that we could not help ourselves. He knew that. That's the reason He went to the cross. It's because of me and you, because He knew that we needed help from somebody. And He was the one that was chosen from the beginning to be the one to help us and bring us to that light and bring us to a love that nobody else has ever experienced before, and that's His precious love. And He wanted to see each one of us one day fellowshipping with Him and the Father there in heaven. He has seen us to where we needed salvation. We needed something that would carry us on and would walk with us and talk with us. That's the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit saved my soul and when He saved yours, then the Lord Jesus Christ, He says, now I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you a comforter, and He will abide by you. Other words, I'm going to send you a comforter, and He's going to look after you. So you don't have to worry about anything. He's going to look after you. He's going to take care of you. If you do wrong, He's going to let you know. Because see, when we do wrong, we don't know if we're doing wrong or right. But the Holy Spirit is the one reveals to each one of us if we are wrong or if we are right. And He touches us. He touches us on the shoulders. I feel His touch each and every day. And in John chapter 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath life, but he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God. We can experience His love, but until we ever experience the wrath of God on our life, we really don't know what His love is really all about. But His love is all about taking care of me and taking care of you. His love is about keeping us strong. And we know that we can be strong. Why? Because He does show us His wrath. And we can be strong within His love to overcome His wrath. And His love will keep us from the wrath of God. There's a touch of service. God touches you on the shoulder. He says to you, I give my Son to die on the cross to save you from hell. God the Father gave us His Son. The one that knew no sin. The one that was perfect in all things. He could do nothing wrong. Everything He'd done was according to the Father's will. That's right there. That's what saved us from going to hell. It's what He done there at Calvary. But we had to accept Him and believe and trust in Him. And there is a place called heaven. There's a whole lot of people that don't believe it. We can see that today. We can see that. We can look around here. and see the empty pews. Where the pews are empty and where the homes are here or have people and at the families that are at home and they know that they need to be in the house of God, they don't really believe that there's a heaven. And they don't really believe that there's a hell. But as much as there's a heaven, there is a hell. And as long as heaven, as long as we're there in heaven, not for just 10,000 years, not for 20,000, not for 1 million years, not for 10 million years, but we're going to be there in heaven for eternity. And that's forever and forever and forever. That's as long as hell is going to be in existence. It's going to be in existence forever and forever and forever, and they are not going to ever be able to be away from the torment. They think that this world right now is in bad shape. This world is not in bad shape. Really. If we really come to it and think about it as Christians, the world itself is not in bad shape. It's the people that's in it. They're the one is in bad shape. The world is just like it was when God first created it. But when God breathed it, took his breath, and he breathed it into the nostril of mankind, it was them that got corrupt. It was them that's causing all the problem. It's not the world. And the reason I say it's not the world is because we are part of the world. Me and you, we're part of the world. Each and every Christian that is in church this morning and serving God and praying, an ancient grave Christian is outside, may be sick and at home this morning. They know God. They know Him. They want to be in church. If they want to be in church, then they'll be, if they get butter during the day, and if they have church tonight, they'll be in church. But I hate to say it, you can probably take both my hands and you could probably count the number of churches within the sound of my voice through Ringo, through Pennsylvania County, and through the city of Danville, the churches that will be open tonight. The churches that will be open Wednesday night. They said, we just don't have the people. We don't have the people that wants to come out. Well, what about in having the doors closed and then having somebody drive up that wants to come? What are you going to say about that? Well, they should have known we want to open. If they've got that kind of attitude, they don't need to have the church open. But there's not that many anymore that's got the church doors open. That's the reason people, that's the reason the Christians has got in this shape that they're in. Because they have too much time with the sin that is in this world. I know the Bible does not tell us exactly that we're supposed to be at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And then we have to have preaching, Sunday school and preaching, and then we're supposed to come back on Sunday night and have fellowship and have a message. It's not in the Bible the way it said we're supposed to have a midweek service. It's not in there. But one thing about it was, and this is one thing I could probably say that maybe the blacks has got us on. At least when they go to church, they don't go to church for 2 hours or 3 hours. They go for all day. But still what they're doing is still not biblical. Because see, they're sitting there and they're sitting on padded pews. I would not mind. And I know what I'm gonna get back with this, so. And I know what you're gonna say, well, you ain't gonna have to worry, you wouldn't have to worry about it. But you know what I think? I think what we need to get back to, and what we should go back to, and we may end up going back to it before it's all said and done. Go back to the pews that didn't have the padded pews. And didn't have the one slap a board on it. You had them slats on it. And if you got up the wrong way, you got pinched. And you didn't have no thermostat on the wall where you could just go and turn it up to, do y'all want it cool enough? Do y'all want it 62? Or do y'all want it 66? No, what we had to depend on, we had to depend on God. And that's the reason we had the funeral homes. And what did they do? All you had to do was just go in. You could go by the funeral home and get some if you run out. And that's the fans. You don't see them much anymore. For all I know, they probably don't even make them anymore. I don't know. But we need to get back to that. Why? Because we've had a touch from God. We've had a touch from the Master. And I thank the Lord for that touch. I really do. I am so glad. And I am just so thankful that after I got saved at home, that I got in a Bible-believing church. That they got in there and they read the scripture and they preached what the scripture said. They preached on sin and they named sin. They won't even name sin anymore. I've even heard preachers say, well, I don't think it's right for me to get up here, and I don't think it's right for any other preacher to get up here and preach and use the name hell. One of them said that one time, and after the service, I went to and asked him. I said, I didn't know that God's air conditioned heaven. I didn't know that we had two heavens. Had one up above and one down. He said, I just don't like to use the word heaven. I said, why not? Hey, are you saying that you're butting God? Are you butting Jesus? You butting Paul? Hey, they preached more on hell than they did heaven. Why? Because that's what they wanted to keep us out of, is hell. They wanted to keep us out of hell. That's the reason they preached on it. And they preached on the where the worm that dieth not. And that worm, when that worm gets a hold on you, starts crawling on you, it irritates you. Is that? You may be able to brush them off. But as soon as you brush that one off, you got another one. Start snoring. Where the worm dies not. You know, I've never seen a buzzard ever fly down out of the air and land on the highway or the driveway or the side of the road. Where an individual's pet that was colored in white and black, skunk. If they would ever fly down, I've never seen it. I've never seen it, never heard it. Why? They don't want a part of it. They don't want a part of it. Why? Because it puts the odor out. We can look at that thing too, in this way. We as Christians, we should be walking so close to God. And we should fear Him to the point that people can sense in whom we're walking with. In sense in whom we're walking with. Who are we supposed to be walking with? The Lord. Who's the Lord walking with? He's walking with the Father. Who is the Holy Spirit walking with? The Holy Spirit's walking with me. And He's walking with you. God senses a touch. When we go and when we fellowship with God through prayer, through meditation, through reading His Word, He senses our touch to where we want to be a little closer to Him. He senses that touch that I want to be. I want to really be around Him. I want to be around Him at all times. And I want to take and put my arm around Him. Around His shoulders, and I want to be able to hug Him. Not only can we sense God around us, but I believe that God can sense us around Him in doing what we need to be doing. I want you to serve me. That's what He's saying. God is saying, I want you to serve me. I don't want you to serve me as a slave. I want you to serve me as a servant. I want you to be able to serve me the way you can go out and you can tell other people. That right there is a servant. Love for the Lord, that when they go out and they tell other people, that is a love that they have and that they have experienced. Not only that, there's a touch of separation. sure am glad that I'm separated. I sure am glad that not only did he save me, but he gave me some things that I needed to do, that I needed to change in my own life. But he knew that I could not change it on my own. I needed help. That's the reason he gave me the Comforter. That's the reason he gave me the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit can help me, can teach me the things that I must be separated from. To get the true meaning, the true Bible meaning of separation, we need to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, and 15, 16, and 17, and 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Verse 15, and what concord, and what concord, and what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be thy God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among ye, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. And the word, when you see the word perfect in the Word of God, what it's talking about, that where we're maturing, where we're studying, where we're praying, where we're just asking for God's help, where we're maturing in the Word of God. In other words, where we're growing in grace. And if you're not growing in the Word, and if I'm not growing in the Word, I'm not separated. I'm not separated. Be separate from evil. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. In other words, they say, what he's saying right here says, we should not be bound. We should not be around unbelievers all the time. Because if we do, then we're going to get back in the same shape that we was in before. To separate from the false teachers. Oh man. Talking about false teachers. We have got some false teachers today. Anybody, and I'll tell anybody, and it don't make no difference, I'll tell them. I says, if you ain't preaching from the Word of God, if you ain't preaching from the King James book, now, I know that the King James book, the King James Bible that I use and you use, it's not the original manuscript. I know that. I'm not that stupid. But I do know one thing. It's the closest thing to the original manuscript that is written for the English-speaking people. It was wrote. It was penned down by the Holy Spirit, but it was written by over 50 different individuals where they had the Holy Spirit had touched our fingers and touched the pen that they was right. So when they wrote a word down, they had no knowledge of the word. They did not have no knowledge of what they was going to be penning down. The Holy Spirit penned down what God wanted penned down. So I say to this, we got probably 75% of the churches that's in the surrounding area in Danville. I know this is going to be on tape, it don't make no difference to me. But there's 75% of the churches that's not preaching God's word. They're not separated. They're not separated unto God. Why? They don't fear God. You know who they fear? They fear the devil. Because that's the reason they ain't got any shape to take. The bulletin boards that they put up, that's what they look at. They say, shoot, last Sunday we had 150. Oh, praise God. We've got to have at least 150 by now. This Sunday. What did they got off of? They ain't said anything about God. They said, we had 150 last Sunday. Man, I'm expecting 155 this Sunday. No. You know what I'm expecting? I'm expecting the one that God wants here. I'm expecting that the people where God has burdened them down, that they will be here. I'm not expecting no great number. Yeah, I love to see some people come in. I love some people to get saved. I love them to get saved to the point that we'd have to have we'd have to fill the baptistry up, and then we'd just drain the water and fill it back up for the next week. But I'm not in it all for the hoopmurrah. And a great big church and all the people coming in. Because I do know this. That if we have people come in and fill these other pews, you can just about bet you that you're going to have some people in that say they're Christians. And they come. But why did we leave the last church? Why did they leave? Did they leave the last church because the preacher won't preach in the Bible? Or because the preacher had changed something, changed his ways, and changed his ideas about the Word of God? Or they just got threaded with somebody? Or somebody hurt our feelings and knocked that little egg off of our shoulder. I don't need them. I don't need the type of people because they're not going to bring me problems. They're going to bring you problems. They're going to bring the ones that's here, the ones that they grow in the Lord. It's going to bring us problems. But if they come in, I will not ask them to leave. And then it'd be a while before you could ask them to take a part in anything, have an office in any church, or do anything. They've got to come in, and they have got to be here, and they've got to be willing to sacrifice their life. That's what Jesus done. Jesus sacrificed his life for the church. Who's the church? Me and you. Ones that are saved by the grace of God. And they've got to sacrifice something too. They have got to prove not only to this body of people, in what we believe in and what we know is right, but they have got to come in and they have got to show that I'm a Christian, that can walk that straight and that narrow line. It doesn't tell me that I cannot call the last church. It does not tell me that I cannot call our last pastor. It does not tell me that. The Bible does not tell me. The Bible does tell me that I need to, as your under shepherd here, that I'm supposed to look after you. And for me to look after you, then I got to do my due diligence in seeking out what they had done, the reason they had left the other church. Now, if your people here, if they can't get along, if you can't get along with me on that, then we can't get along. But I cannot have anybody that's going to come in here and going to start another fuss, and then it's going to have another takeover. I mean, not another takeover, but a takeover and everything else like that. Well, see, that's what churches are doing today. That's what people are doing. They're going into some of these smaller churches like us. We know what we stand on, right? Each one of you know what we stand on. See, when they come in, they don't know what we stand on. They don't know what we stand on when they first come through the door. But if they come in and they listen, and if they look, they can see what we stand on. And they can hear what we stand on. And if that's not what they come for, they can't live by the truth. The truth will set you free. A lie is going to keep you in bondage. But truth will set you free. Separation. Oh, man. We need to be set apart from the world. We need to be we'll strengthen every day by this book. We'll strengthen each and every day that we get into this book here. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covering, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The covenants means greed, jealousy. And it means envy. And there's a separation. I mean, there's a touch from the supreme satisfaction of knowing God. Psalm 17, verse 15 says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. What David is saying right here in the book of Psalms, I shall be satisfied. What he said, I am satisfied in what you do, God. He is satisfied. There will be the ultimate satisfaction. When we're satisfied with what Jesus does for each one of us. And if we're satisfied within the direction that he wants us to walk in. And if we're satisfied in the direction that we are trying our very best to carry on his work here at Faith Baptist Church, then he's satisfied with us. And I believe only then is when we can say he's satisfied with us. That's when he says, son, daughter, I love you. I love you because you love me. He says that to me. He's telling me, he said, I love you because you love me. Then we can turn around and say, Father, we love you because you first loved us. Everyone stand here, bow their eyes closed. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you would just touch each and every one of us, Father. And God, we just thank you for the touch from the Master's hand. And Lord, that you may just have your will and your way in each one of our lives. Go with us to our respective home, Father, and bring us back the next appointed time. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.